Welcome to another episode of Meeting Pros. I'm your host, Kevin Finn, and in the studio with me is my lovely co-host, Jessica Park. Welcome, Jessica.
How are you doing?
I am doing great. I'm really excited this weekend. I managed to snag some free press passes to Taste of Atlanta, so that's what I'm going to be doing this weekend.
All of our hard work has paid off.
I know. It's a success. I can die happy now.
Excellent.
So what have you been up to?
Getting my house ready for the new addition. It's been all go. My husband's out of town, so it's been a good time.
What
to...
What color did you guys paint the nursery? I know that's a big...
It's
big
a nautical theme.
Nautical
Imagine
theme.
That. It's really? Going to be...
A lot of sailboats?
Yeah.
Are they special? But since you sail, are they special kind of sailboats or
no,
just generic?
Just cute whales and things
cute
like
whales.
That. It's going to be, we don't know the gender of the baby, so we're going to name,
know.
You know.
Now, have you decided on names?
No, I'm not talking about that.
Okay, all right. So, well, let's get to the show then. So this is our first themed show that we've done, and we've been doing this for about a year, so it's pretty big. But yeah, so what are we going to be talking about today, and who are our guests?
Well, Lou was looking for reasons to come back because
he
loves.
Lou. He's our favorite.
Yeah,
DJ.
He's great. So he
can have my job.
We came up with the idea of talking to event planners that have relocated here after being in another city, not necessarily moving their companies, but having had the experience of working in the events industry outside of Atlanta, and then being here as well. So.
Okay,
today,
that's huge.
Yeah, today we have Lou Guzzo with Spectrum Entertainment. We have Jennifer Neiman of her own Jennifer Neiman Makeup Artistry. We have Gail Greenlee of Loaves and Fishes. And we have Veronica Oliver with Save the Date Weddings and Events.
All right. Well, let's get started. We're going to bring Lou in first because he is the professional here. So, Lou, how about you tell our listeners just about your company again really fast because they've listened to the show before.
All right, really fast. Spectrum Entertainment Events have been around since 1989. It's DJs, bands, videography, casinos, audiovisual, anything that you need for an event except photography. So that's
awesome.
Pretty much it. How about that?
And
quick and easy?
Very quick.
That was
and
a
easy.
Nutshell.
Yeah. So talk about moving from somewhere else. You came from New York, right?
Came from New York.
New York. All right. We love New York. I used to live there. So so talk about the differences, how that moved to Atlanta and just business, the difference in business.
Everything. We come from an area in New York where everyone knows a DJ, and I think there's one on every block. So what happens is that there is a congestion of great talent, and everyone learns off of each other, and there's a certain way that we would do events compared to here in Atlanta. It's always bigger and bolder with a DJ and an MC and TVs to show montages and videos constantly and intelligent light shows and everything like that. And here it's a DJ on a table by himself.
Yeah.
So there is a big difference, and I really thought I had to get out of doing this for a living when I came down here, because who's going to want a New York DJ? And like I said last time, it's...
And then you found out everybody.
Everybody wants a New York DJ. It's just a different style and interaction, and there are some guys who do interaction, but mostly they're just DJs, and they want to show how great they are on the turntables, but, you know... It's a big difference in the way that the industry is, as in here... The facility is not in control. That's why we have planners, and that's why we have caterers who will run the show. Here, it's a lot where it's a mansion or a facility that rent the room out.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Back home, the facility's in control of everything. You book the DJ through the facility. You book the videographer. You book the photographer, the food, and it's all in one spot. So that there really is a big change in the way we have to do things here. I have to be a planner when we don't have a great planner to work with.
Right.
Like this lovely girl to my right. You know, when there is no planner, I have to take that spot. Back home, it's 5 minutes till this. Okay, good. I just get to DJ and entertain and throw out the giveaways at weddings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the guitars and the sunglasses. But here, very few
brides.
Yeah. Blow up guitars and neon necklaces and everything is the way that we used to do it back home. But here, the brides shun away from that because it's not what they're used to.
Mm.
So it's just a little bit of a difference, more of a show up north compared to down here, I think. You know?
All right. So you talked a little bit about cultural differences and a little bit about business, but go more into the business side of it because I have to feel like New York has a stigma about it, about business, and it's a lot harder to start a business there. Is that true compared to Atlanta?
Yes and no, because there are more guys in the business, I think. I think there are less DJs in Atlanta than there are on Long Island. Maybe because there's more people and it's easier to find the equipment back home than it is here. I mean, where can you go buy equipment? Guitar Center? And there's only one spot. I mean, if you're in the industry, there's only one spot to buy the equipment. Yeah. And there's really no place to really learn. There are club DJs who learn how to do it, and they come in from – there's not too many club DJs from Atlanta anymore. They're all from outside of Atlanta. So they come into it, and the bride goes, "Ooh, I saw him at this location. I want him to do my wedding." And then when they go do the wedding, and the planners find out this guy has no clue about first dances or anything else. And but back home, there are so many wedding DJs. You just open up the Yellow Pages, and you can find 10 to 15 of them. And they charge a lot of money. The events back home would go anywhere from $2,000 to $3,000 a piece. Down here, guys complain because they can't get more than $1,200 if we're lucky at an event. Like, there are some that get more because they bring more equipment.
Uplighting.
And everything. So once you start adding on the uplighting and TVs and this
lapel
and that,
mics. And,
for ceremony and all that good stuff. Those are the upsales. And I hate to say it that way, but that's just the way that it is. That's the way that we would make our money. But back home, it's all in a package. You get the package, you get this, you get everything, and it's $3,000. But you know what you're getting because that's what brides are looking for. An outgoing, crazy fun DJ. That's exactly what they want back home.
So do you like being a DJ in New York or do you like being one here better? Is the competition different? Is all that?
Honestly. I think down here.
Lie to me.
Yeah, I'm going to lie to you right now. Honestly, the events down here are a lot more romantic. You go to the Biltmore Ballrooms and you play At Last for a First Dance. It is the most – oh, it's amazing. You didn't get that back home because of all the glitz and the glam, I think. And maybe it's because I'm older and more romantic now.
Okay. Yeah. All right. What does your wife say?
Well, 18 years. That's all you have to know.
All right. So paint the picture for me. I want to hear the story from a young DJ rising up in New York, coming and then transferring down to Atlanta and all the decisions that went along with that.
Okay. Young DJ. When I started back in 1989, I was 18 years old. The ego is huge. I mean huge compared to the way I am now. You automatically think that you're the best. And you walk into every event thinking you're the best. And you just keep on strutting that until someone tells you that you're not the best. And then you get knocked down. Then you work up. Then you get knocked down. And everyone has this ego where they are the best. So it's always a pounding of the heads type of thing. So when you go to work for a company, you're getting, you know, well, I'm the best. No, I'm the best. I'm the best. Here, there is more of a kingship of DJs. A lot of the guys that you've had on this radio program, I'm friends with. Back home, we would be
rivals,
cursing each other. Because of the market, there is more competition home than there is here.
Did you guys have like DJ battles? You know, you have like rap rivalries. Yes, there DJ rivalries.
Actually, back home, every DJ company would have dance crews that would go with them on events. Weddings would have dancers on them. The dancers would go out and they would actually at the end of events, they would go out to clubs and they would actually battle each other in the middle of the clubs.
So that's a real thing.
It's a real thing. And it was really cool. The DJs would hang out, and I'm the DJ. I don't dance, you know. But
you have your crew.
But you have your crew, and they're doing head spins and everything else. And you know, it would guys would want to work for a company because of the dancers, and it was a little easier to make people dance back home because they're looking for that club style. Here, they're looking for more of that.
I'm gonna sentimental.
Yeah, and it's more of that, you know, sorority frat party where I'm playing Brown Eyed Girl and Respect and people are going nuts for it. Back home, they would look at you and go, what are you playing? Yeah. Play the hot stuff. You know, I want a club. That's the big difference.
All right, cool. So what made you transition between that? Just getting older, wiser, a woman? what brought you to Atlanta? So you're up there. You're having gang battles. When you're young, you love that kind of stuff.
Oh, it's great.
So it's
great.
Awesome. You have swag.
Well, you know what it was? I got tired of the rat race of New York. And I think that's what happens with a lot of people, whether it's L.A. or anywhere else. It's just a rat race, and you want to change. Mm-hmm. So you come down to Atlanta, you're like, this is cool. It's laid back. It's a little country. It's a little city. You know, it's not a little city, but it's, you know, it's a little bit of both, and you get to enjoy family life more because there's more of that family feel down here.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's what brought us down here.
Atlanta is definitely a confused city. It doesn't really have – it doesn't know quite who it is yet. So
no, we have a big Ferris wheel, but nobody goes on it.
Yes. <You know? laughs> Well, that's awesome. So what's next? You got any new events coming up you want to talk about?
Oh, yeah. Well, we always have constantly have events. Actually, I think this year was the biggest booking year for us. We're booking like mad. It's nonstop, and that's a great thing. Have an awesome, awesome event coming up on Halloween at Summer Hours where it's a wedding, but there's going to be a lot of actors and people in the industry that are going to be there. So we're going to be partying with, like, you know, the guy.
About to name drop somebody.
Yeah, I want to, but I don't know if I should, but I will. Vanilla Ice is going to be there. Guys of
no
that nature.
Way.
Yeah. Yes. They're going to be there at the party partying.
I shouldn't be so excited.
Yeah,
about
I know,
that.
I know. But you hit a certain age and you go, Vanilla Ice is going to be there? And I was told I have to play that song or he would literally walk out of the wedding.
The Ice Ice Baby song?
I have to do it.
Seems like he would be like, do
not. No, no,
no.
He went out. He went away from it and now he is embracing it.
He's embracing it.
You have to.
Miley Cyrusing it. That's what I call it. So well,
Miley Cyrus is not
is that
dumb, people.
No, she's not.
No one was talking about her until she did that. And now she's had three hit songs.
And then she went on SNL, made fun of herself. She's on the market. Whoever's marketing
smart.
For her. Yeah.
She's
her,
smart.
Her PR company's great.
Well, enough of me. What about everybody else?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. All right. Well, before we wrap up with you, Loon, you can chime in. Just give us the coordinates for your company if anyone wants to hire you guys.
Spectrum Entertainment. You could check us out at www.spectrum-ent.com. Phone number is 770-441-9806. And we have a large staff of guys ready to talk to you about any type of event you have.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And definitely chime in on it if you find anything interesting.
Cool.
You just want to sing or karaoke or something.
If you want, we can sing.
Definitely. Well, next up, we're gonna bring Gail Greenlee into the fold, and her company is Loaves and Fishes Catering Company. Welcome to the show, Gail.
Thanks.
So tell us a little bit about your company real fast and tell our listeners about it.
Okay. We've been in the Atlanta area for the last 12 years. We used to have a restaurant that we catered out of in New York. Upstate New York, where all the snow is, and 95% of what we do is weddings.
Okay, so you came from New York also.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, originally I'm from Connecticut.
But
one of those detours.
So what made you decide to start your own company?
Actually, it had to do with money. What do we do now? We had bounced off of Israel after 9/11,
okay.
And found ourselves in Georgia. It's like, what do? I said catering. My husband said no way, and I won.
So you guys were catering though in New York also, right?
Yes, we were catering out of our restaurant.
Definitely. So how does that work in New York? So what kind of restaurant did you guys have? And
we had an international restaurant.
Okay. Well, I want to know, how did you come up with the name of your company?
I'm very curious.
I know I'm jumping around.
Yeah, obviously it has Christian tones. Basically, when we came back from Israel, I was trying to figure out what to do and catering. And I actually was reading one morning that story, and I was like, hey, this is kind of like a catered event, only he didn't charge for it. I looked at Jesus as he was a chef de cuisine. The apostles were servers, you know.
Well, he didn't also have to pay all for all those loaves of bread, too. He only had to get one.
And but he came away with 12 baskets full, so that looked like a profit to me. So
exactly. I wonder what the ROI would be on that right there.
Pretty good.
All right, so let's talk about it. You're in New York. You have a restaurant. And you decide to, it's a logical step to go to start catering from there. And then why did you decide to leave New York? So,
well, actually, we left New York a number of reasons. The restaurant business is really rough. We had four kids at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And our relationship. Yeah. Well, no, they were little. But, you know, it's like your relationship gets reduced to talking about the kids' book reports and what's on special. On top of which, we were in upstate New York off of us, the Lake Ontario. So we were getting the lake effect snow, minus 45 degree weather, 10 feet of snow.
The view only lasts so long.
Yeah,
right?
And I know. So we went back to Fort Lauderdale, and we were living in Fort Lauderdale before New York, and my husband went back to working for the caterer that he was working for down there.
All right. So then why do you leave the warmth of Fort Lauderdale to come to Atlanta?
We didn't actually. This is all confusing, I know. Okay. We moved to Israel. We lived in Israel.
Okay.
We came here.
I'm starting to put stuff together here.
Okay. We were taking a sabbatical for a year. We arrived in New York on 9/11/2000.
Wow.
Our year up was 9/11/2001. timing is everything. And we couldn't get back into the Mideast. And then by the time people were flying back
just got stuck in Atlanta?
My sister and brother-in-law lived in Cartersville, so we were spending a lot of time there over the year. But by the time they were flying back into the Mideast, Israel was very on guard and kind of, you know.
Definitely. All right, so now you've moved from Israel. You got stuck in Atlanta because of a flight delay. And you're like, well, I know catering, so let's open a catering business. How did that go?
It just started to happen where people at church were hiring us, and then Lake Alatoona Yacht Club heard about us, and they started. And before the ball just started to roll, and it was like, oh my gosh, I guess we're really doing this.
That's great. That's a very organic way to get into business.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. So how do you guys market yourself? Did you like, hey, we're from New York, we're special? Or do you were just like, hey, we're really good at our job and you can see that and you're going to tell all your friends about it?
I don't know. I mean, like I said, at first it was just word of mouth, and we had to relearn the business. When we catered in the 80s, catering was not what it is today. Today it's a totally different industry.
Yeah, we want it all now.
Absolutely. The expectations are high. And so we had to find out what was out there. How do you market yourself now? And when we decided weddings was definitely what we wanted to do, that's when Wedding Wire and The Knot and that kind of stuff came about.
All right. Well, what troubles did you guys run into? What things did you figure out? What was easier, harder?
What was harder is that the wow factor in the design, and the fact that with Food Network, people knew food differently than they do now. And so it was, I guess it was just learning. You know, we had to learn as we went how to put together, a tablescape instead of we just in the 80s provided the food. And the fact that you can do so much more now,
I want it to look pretty too. I don't want it to taste good, look pretty.
Right. Well, the fruit, like we did a fruit and cheese a couple weeks ago. Her design was rustic, which is very, very popular right now. And we used slate stones and moss and burlap. And we would have never thought of using slate stones in a tablescape. So it's like you can think outside the box now in a way that you just couldn't. The expectations in the 80s was very, basically like line upon line. Now it's good grief, wine barrels. And, it's just a totally different animal. It's fun.
Does the social media play into that? I know Pinterest has a lot of good stuff people can pin.
Yeah, I don't tend to go on Pinterest
much. So we got something in common.
I like to come up with things original. I had been in Vegas teaching at a CaterSource conference about rustic design. And when I looked at Pinterest, I found that there was the same wedding was being
recreated
all over the country. So I kind of like, nope, not going to look at this anymore. I'm going to try to figure out something that's original.
1,000 unique weddings that all look alike. So,
and the clients are looking at it, so they'll find they like this style, and then a week later they'll be like, oh wait, this is really cool too.
I bet you guys just love that.
It's a little challenging.
All right, so I want to talk about the learning curve, because so you go from the 80s, you're just making really delicious food, and that does it. And now millennials are coming around, and we like stuff fancy, and we're really picky. And so then there's this learning curve that you decided, hey, you know what? I'm not going to fight it. I'm going to go with it. How do you learn about all this stuff? Or were you just naturally talented in rustic design and different designs?
I hate to say I'm naturally talented, but I'm going to go with that.
Yes. All right. So let's talk about the food now. That's my favorite part. Right. Jessica knows. What kind of food do you guys do? Is it anything, everything? Is it
It is everything. I mean, we had an international restaurant, so we're really comfortable on so many different levels. But one of the things with rustic design is that we did over the last year is we started to produce what we call a farmhouse menu. So we've taken what would be recognizable food to you and try to put a twist on it to bring it up to a wedding standard. Okay, like everybody knows what tarragon chicken is.
Yes.
You're going to see a white cream sauce with tarragon in it. But we do it with a port wine sauce, mushrooms, artichokes, and slivered fennel root. Yum. So it's got a prettier color, We really like doing family style. We love that came popular. So it's just like you go farmhouse, family style. We're still in the rustic trend. I mean, it's like I'm still booking 2014 that want burlap and mason jars.
That's awesome.
So it's not going away.
So who comes up with the menus? Is that you again? Another?
Yep, that is
so
me
you
again.
Just you're just the genius level food design
really
talent.
I really am.
Yes.
So. That's my favorite part is coming up with menus, working
it is,
with the food
and theming food with their like you know, the Great Gatsby. For some reason, the 20s and the speakeasy, before the Great Gatsby movie even came out, started to become popular.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So we were doing a lot of that kind of swing weddings and stuff, just having our girls dressed up like cigarette girls, made the little Philip Morris hats, and we rolled guava in cheese in phyllo pastry, stuck them in a cigar box, called them Cuban cigars. And, you know, it was... So it was like you could, being able to theme the food not only with the decor but also what you're serving to give them a whole experience. It's just been a lot of fun.
Well, and like like you said, it's not cookie cutter. You're coming up with these original ideas mm-hmm. and doing them, and you can just act on them. That has to be amazing. You must love your job.
Oh, absolutely.
You can tell.
Absolutely.
Yes, definitely. So when you were a little girl, did this is what you wanted to do for a living?
No. Or
you wanted to be a fireman?
I thought I wanted to be a doctor.
Just wanted to birth babies.
Well, I think you picked the right profession. So.
Thanks.
Definitely.
So what's next? You guys got any events coming up?
Yeah, we do. I mean, we're working on weddings in December. And, of course, you know, there's always corporate Christmas parties and stuff. November tends to be a little bit slow, which I'm thankful for because of fall wedding season finally being over.
Mm-hmm.
But we're working on weddings.
Awesome. So working on weddings, there's always a good story or some kind of every kid we've had has a good story. Do you have any funny stories that you can tell us without embarrassing anybody? Or?
Yes. A number of disaster stories on our part. I was just thinking about one the other day, how, you know, it's like our challenge is always that we are training staff to do events on weekends, but they have other jobs. They are, you know, they work at a bank, they work at a daycare center or something like that. So we had an untrained staff member. She was... I don't know why she was actually put in charge of doing this, but she was putting together chafers. There's steam tables. You have to put water, and then the sterno gets lit. She lit all the sternos without water in the steam tables. Didn't even put in a sterno holder, so we couldn't stop the flame. So we grabbed the water pans foolishly without water. Oof. Of course, they're really, really hot, and we dropped them on the rug. So after we got this all cleaned up, we went to get water to pick up the steam tables, but we couldn't lift the water pan that had been heated. It had melted to the rug, four of them.
Oh my.
And so I was trying to lift it, and then we were both trying to lift it. It's like, oh my gosh, we can't get this off the rug. We got one of the guys from the kitchen, three of us with all our might, pulled it up, and of course pulled up the rug.
Hopefully it wasn't a nice rug.
It was brand new. Melted to the almost to the subfloor. I don't know how they got this off, but the kitchen people, they worked a miracle. They got it off. We just moved the tables over, and
Sterno.
Thank goodness for a great insurance company.
Sterno. I've heard so many bad stories about Sterno being involved.
Yes. But, you know, there's a friend of mine was telling me about how they had set up the whole beautiful display out in the lawn, and as soon as they were done, the sprinklers that were on a timer went off and no one knew how to turn them off. So it's like there's always something really challenging and fun that you've got to do when it comes to
catering. A way to turn off the sprinklers. I learned this.
Oh, okay.
You step on one.
Oh.
Seriously, you step on one and hold it down for a certain period of time, and they all have a failsafe to where it'll turn it off.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. That's right? Always learn something
there
new.
You
I'm right about something.
Well, I've always learned. I used to be in the video space before I got smart and got in radio, so I didn't have to be in front of the camera. And if in video, if something can't go wrong, it always does.
Yeah.
Is our philosophy, and I know it's the same in the
definitely.
Video.
You have to be able to adapt.
Adapt to chaos.
Yeah.
All right. So, what are the coordinates for your company? How do people reach out and hire you for this awesome food?
Okay. Our website is loaves-fishescatering.com. You can get a hold of me at gail@loaves-fishescatering.com. Telephone number 770-855-7872. If you don't remember all that, just Google us.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on.
Thanks.
All right. Well, next up on Meeting Pros, we have Veronica Oliver with Save the Date Weddings and Events. Welcome to the show. You've been sitting there patiently. You've been taking notes, laughing at all the right points. So you're doing a great job so far.
Thank you. Thank you very
her
much.
Her eyes got really big when you said her name. She was like, me?
Is it my turn?
It's your turn. I haven't butchered her name yet, Jessica.
You've done great. Good. You've done
I always
great.
Mess up someone's name, so it's not good for Jennifer. All right. So tell us a little bit about your company.
Well, we are Save the Date Weddings and Events, and we are a full-service wedding and event planning company. We offer month of packages and also full-service design.
Definitely. So I'm seeing a pattern here. Full service. You have to include everything now. You can't just do one thing. You have to do it all. So
that's right.
Talk a little bit about that. And where did you move from?
I'm originally from the Keys, the Florida Keys.
Wow, okay.
But I started my business in Atlanta.
Okay, so you decided to come here. Mm-hmm. I think this is a great place to start a business. I think it's very underrated. There's a lot going on in Atlanta. So.
There is, but I've done a lot of events outside of Atlanta as well. I love traveling for work.
Definitely. You do destination events.
I do. I've done a wedding in Lake Lure where they film Dirty Dancing.
Oh.
And then I love going down to the Georgia coast as well.
Okay, do you ever make it out of the States for anything?
Not yet. I have somebody that's kind of nibbling at going to Puerto Rico, so I'm looking forward to that.
If you want some help, I know some people in the radio business
really?
That could try to convince them. We'll bring
that
them on.
That would be great. I can always use a great right hand.
All right. So tell us a little bit about your business, what you guys do. I know you explained full service, but just go more in detail for us.
Well, we help with all the day of details. So all the organization, recommending vendors, fantastic vendors like Lou sitting next to me right here. We've worked together before. that's one of the great things about Atlanta. There are so many fantastic people in the industry that you really feel comfortable with. And it's great to educate brides and people that are starting events and, you know, formulating events on who is the best people in the business to work with.
So how do you go out there and make these relationships? Because you hear in every business, they're like, hey, if you have the relationships, the business is really easy. But how did you go about, like, start a company, you get crazy enough to start a company, like, I'm going to start a company, I can do this. And then you have to start building these relationships. How did you do that?
You network. You network. You just get out there and you try to go to every possible event, joining industry things like ISIS, WIPA, great organizations like that you can do, and then you just meet the wonderful people. And it's all word of mouth. I mean, even with my company, I don't do a lot of marketing or advertising. Most of my business comes to me either from industry people or just word of mouth from great clients.
Okay, well, that's awesome. So what do you enjoy about Atlanta so much? I know you do events outside of Atlanta, but what makes Atlanta sort of unique for the event planning industry?
Well, you can kind of do everything. I mean, you can do the Biltmore Ballrooms, and then you can go to North Georgia. I mean, a couple weekends ago, I had a wedding in Monroe, which was a rustic on the lake, and then the next day I had a wedding in Cleveland at a vineyard. You know, so then today I'm meeting with somebody down at King Plow. I mean, you can just do everything. The spectrum is just huge on possibility here.
I love that. All right, so walk me through a customer engagement. I found your company. I'm like, man, I want to have a wedding, which is probably going to happen pretty soon for me.
Awesome.
So
call me.
So
sell him.
So I come to you. How does that work? Can I just pass my fiance off to you and be like, all right, take care of everything,
absolutely,
and then I can go watch football?
Absolutely. Yeah, I would prefer that.
I would too.
Well, basically, it's all about forming relationships. I like to get to know my clients and meet them at their home, kind of see what styles they have, what's unique about them, and it's creating that not cookie cutter wedding for everybody. It's making it personal about this couple.
All right. Do you ever have, like, you sit down there and you meet with them, and has it ever just not worked, and you'll be like, all right, let me pass you off to another one of my other wedding planners that'll work for you?
Absolutely.
But I don't think our styles really match.
Absolutely. It has to match. I mean, that's the thing about, you are in this relationship with this couple. I mean, the day of their wedding, it's me and them, and that's how it has to happen. So you have to have that dynamic with them. It's the same thing with photographers. You have to have that relationship, or else you're not going to feel comfortable in front of the camera.
All right,
so,
definitely.
Yeah.
So you design the wedding, how it looks from the placemat. You go get the caterers and bring in people to do food.
Mm-hmm.
So I know a really good one of those, by the way.
You do?
So I do.
Yeah.
So I'm really well connected. So you do all that for everybody, and then you're just a one-stop shop, really.
One-stop shop. I can be. Or if you need somebody just for the end, and you've already done all the legwork, you've picked your photographer, your caterer, the venue, all that kind of stuff, and you just want somebody to take over like 45 days out, I can do that as well.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
45 days out?
Absolutely. Creating the timeline, making sure all the vendors are on the same page, we know what time we're loading in, loading out, who's doing what at what time, making all the spreadsheets, making my I love my little diagrams for the ceremony, who stands where, who walks out with who walks in with who. It's very detailed.
I'm already stressed
out. I know, you're sweating. Don't sweat about it.
What
percentage of day of coordination do you do? I know it's not physical. It's actually
it's about 50-50.
Like mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, and there's no such thing as day of coordination to me. Yeah. I mean, it has to be month of. It's 45 days out.
Yeah.
At least, minimum.
Mm. I would agree with that for sure.
It's a good thing because you don't want to be stressed out on that day. You don't want to say, oh, I've got it, or my mom will do it. And you let them enjoy the wedding. That's what we're doing. That's what mm-hmm. we are here for. You know, if something goes wrong, we can make that call. I mean, that's one of the difficult things about working outside of your home base. Who do you call when you have that emergency come up? You know that, like, I could call Lou and be like, hey, Lou, I need this, or this. You know, if I'm in Jekyll Island or I'm in Lake Lure, I need to have another backup plan because I don't have my resources in my backyard.
All right, so I have a question, and this happened to my friend. I just want to know, and anyone can chime in on this. It's a really interesting story. I've never heard of anything like this before, but my friend was at a vineyard in Georgia this weekend, and it was a home style, just great place. He was having a good time, and then it had been rented out for a wedding. So the bride comes in, everything, and they start moving everyone out, and he's leaving. It's fine, and then he sees this woman, and she's early or late 20s. And she will not leave. She won't leave. And finally, she gets really mad at the owner. She walks up to the bride and throws wine all over her wedding dress.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, we did some further research. Turned out the one that threw the wine graduated from Harvard, is a lawyer here in Atlanta, and I don't know what's going to happen to her after that. But how do you deal with stuff like that that's completely unpredictable?
Wow. So. Wow.
We just said baseball,
the
but
New
I
York,
New York mentality. Take her out.
Wow.
I would say my first reaction is to defuse the situation and definitely handle the bride, try to get her as calm as possible. Not even handle the situation as far as the person, like let somebody else.
Let the venue do it.
Let the venue deal with that. Like my priority is my client and making sure that she is as comfortable as possible something like that happens.
Well, when you're in venues like that, it's way far away from everyone. How do you deal with the challenges that come sort of with that? So like
knowing where the closest Home Depot is.
Really?
Mm-hmm, Home Depot? Absolutely. It's a great resource. I had a wedding in September where everybody knows we had rain. And the tent started to kind of concave on itself, you know, lots of water.
Yes.
So we were pushing the water out, and then we had piles of water on the floor. So we had to go get a truck of sand to bring it in just to make it manageable.
Well, it sounds like you're good at chaos management, so you don't freak out. You do well under pressure.
Crisis management, yes.
Crisis management, mm-hmm. Therapy, whatever it takes.
Therapist, seamstress,
bartender.
Bartender, absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So did you have any mentors, or how did you really decide you wanted to do this?
I probably blame it all on my mother because I'm an only child, and so she went crazy with all of my birthdays or Valentine's Day parties, any excuse she had to do something.
What was the craziest birthday you had?
I would say probably the Hawaiian birthday.
Yeah,
we had
the flame, like, throwers and stuff?
We didn't have any of that kind of entertainment, but it was pretty amazing. I mean, she did a lot with her food as well. She did all the food on, like, big leaves and things like that, and went lots
cool.
of coconut and things, so... But also my background's in theater, so I consider every wedding or event a type of production.
I love that. It really is.
I mean, that's what I love about this industry. It is so collaborative. It can't just be me.
Right.
I don't make the wedding happen. It has to be me. It has to be Lou. It has to be everybody that's at this
and
table.
And who says theater degrees don't pay dividends?
That's right. It does pay. It does pay. And it's fun.
Definitely. So what's next for you guys?
Lots of weddings. Actually working on an inspiration shoot right now with a bunch of talented people, so that's always fun. When it slows down, you can just play with mm-hmm. people in the industry. So doing that, and then just getting ready for 2014, setting some goals.
So what, an inspiration shoot, what's that?
That's where we get together and we just pretend and just do a bunch of pretty things, take some pictures of it and try to get it published in a blog or something like that.
Okay, that's really cool.
Yeah,
so how
fun.
Do people reach out and contact you?
Our website, which is a very long address, savethedateweddingsandevents.com, or you can reach me at 770-503-6426, or you can Google us as well.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being
thank
on.
Thank you.
Well, last but definitely not least, we have Jennifer C. Neiman. Did I mess up your last name? Did I finally do it?
It's exactly right.
Yes. And she's a makeup artist and hairstylist with is it just – by yourself, Jennifer?
Yeah, I'm a freelancer. I started my whole business by myself.
Now, that is really scary. I did the same thing in the video degree, and I did the same thing. And it's tough starting out as freelance, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. It's really tough, and it's like you have to start saying to yourself, this is what I am, and,
exactly.
and you become it. And but it's hard work because you don't have anybody else. You don't have consistency. Yeah. You have to be a hustler.
You can't be like, well, I work at the AMC Theater, but I'm a freelancer. That's what I do. So you definitely have to hustle. So where did you come from before you came to Atlanta, since that's sort of the theme?
I moved here recently from Los Angeles.
Okay, that's a big change.
Yeah, it was a big change, but I like the change.
More money in your pocket.
Yes, definitely. Much more money. Thank God. But I'm originally born and raised in Michigan, and I moved out to LA to go to makeup school after I finished hair school in Michigan, and worked out there in the industry in all aspects of it, like weddings, fashion, TV, film, everything. I dabbled into everything.
Definitely. What was your favorite part? Because, I mean, makeup and hair they're huge, huge industries. So.
Yeah, it's a really, really big industry. And in Los Angeles, it's very concentrated. There's so many people. The difference between Los Angeles and Atlanta is in Atlanta, you're competing with thousands of yes. other people. In Atlanta, which is great, you're only competing with hundreds.
Yes.
So it's just at such a different level. Mm-hmm. But LA offers a little bit more because they have so much. But in terms of like fashion, editorial, you know, it's a bigger market. It's a bigger city. But mm-hmm. Atlanta's starting to, which is awesome.
Definitely. Yeah, we definitely have the film industry here.
Yeah,
now.
That's why I moved here.
Well, definitely. Well, coming from LA also, I think it's got to help your business here in Atlanta. Sort of like the New York factor with all these people. Like, well, yeah, I used to work in New York. I used to do it in LA, so.
Yeah, it seems... From the outsider, it seems like very glamorous. Like you're like, yeah, you went to school in Hollywood. Like, oh my God, like what celebrities do you know and everything like that. So it does play its advantages, I think, coming from a large market that's very innovative and then coming into Atlanta. I think people really like that.
Okay, definitely. So what are you doing here in Atlanta? And are you doing a lot of weddings, a lot of film stuff? Or
I hate to say this all, but I'm doing it all.
That's good. We love that. We love to hear that.
I moved here originally to work on a USA show called Necessary Roughness.
Oh, and yeah. Then, definitely. I like that show.
Yeah. And then it just kind of, you know, my boyfriend and I both work in the industry, so we both, like, made the move together. And that's when I decided, hey, we're going to stay. We keep getting work here. I'm going to bring my bridal business from Los Angeles, since I did that in LA for 6 years. And then we just ended up staying. So I just wrapped a TV show that I did on Lifetime called Double Divas.
Okay.
And I've just been doing weddings every weekend. I've been lucky enough to get booked.
So you have more business than you know what to do with. That's a good problem to have.
Never.
I never. I guess, but it's like, it's also the fact when you're a business owner or you're a freelancer, you're always looking for the next thing. You're always like, okay, what's next? What's next? You can never like relax or just like take in what's happening and what's going on currently. You have to think, what am I going to do next spring?
Exactly. But also at the same time, you're like, hey, I want to go to the Bahamas for a week.
Yes. I think that's, I think one of the best positive things, because I'm really big in travel. I love traveling. I've gone through 14 countries in Europe, and I've traveled most of the country. And my boyfriend and I love getting away. And I think that's
definitely
the great thing, is like we can be like, okay, we're going to take a month off. Bye.
All right. Well, let's get in the nitty gritty, the details, the things that I don't understand. As I talk about hair and makeup, I know how important it is, and you can see before and after. And it's just, it's such a huge industry. Just hair, I just can't explain it. Just, I want you to talk to it a little bit. It's hard for me to understand.
The industry of hair and makeup?
Hair and makeup, yeah. So just like how you do, like what you go into and how you approach a situation.
I approach everything very differently. You know, I try to get a feel for my clients and what they're expecting and what they're looking. I usually bring in most clients that are my style, which I think is the best, is when you're
definitely
bringing and attracting people who like what you like and things like that. So I think, you know, just knowing how to adapt in every situation, because everything is different. Every bride is different. Every client is different. Their expectations are different. I think it's exciting getting to see, you know, my best point as a makeup artist and a hairstylist is that excitement that you see on someone's face when they look at themselves and they say, I didn't think I was this beautiful. And you're like, you are this beautiful. Like my bride last weekend, she's like, oh my God, I just look so beautiful. And I'm like, well, you're stunning. So feel happy that you're like that. So it's a very gratifying feeling, you know, when you do a client's hair or makeup and you make them feel that emotional about something, I think is the best feeling.
Do your clients normally give you free rein with it, or do they normally say, hey, here's my board, my Pinterest board, and I really like this hairstyle?
Oh, Pinterest. I have like a love-hate relationship with Pinterest.
We all do.
Yes, I'm like addicted to it until 3 a.m. like, pin.
Yeah.
My boyfriend knows that.
What did I just do for the last hour?
I just pinned 37 pins. You know, most of my clientele, I have a very natural clientele. Like a lot of people they're in their own business, like corporate world or lawyers or, you know, doctors, and they don't wear lots of makeup, which is very much like me. And that's why I like that I attract that clientele. So they want to feel like themselves, but just enhanced. That's what I always say. So, you know, they'll come with inspiration. I always, you know, ask my brides, like, hey, can you send me a photo of yourself? Can you send me some photos of how you want to feel and look your day of your wedding? Because it's your most special day, but you don't want to go too far out. Like, I've never worn red lipstick, but I'm going to on my wedding. Your husband might not like that. So I have them send me, you know, links to Pinterest or create a private board. But it can get really hard because you can have a bride send you photos and they look nothing, you know, they have short brown hair and they want this girl that has really thick blonde hair updo. And you're like, so that's the thing. Like some people get super literal and super like, but the braid is like this and I want it like that. Like, you have different hair. You are Asian. You're not white. You know, it's going to look different. So I just try to, you know, make sure that we do the best for them. Like, I don't like to do makeup just to do makeup. I like to do what enhances everything about that person.
Well, I'm sure that your clients appreciate just you being real with them too and not trying to just beat around the bush and give them everything that they want, but you're like, that's not going to work. You're not going to like that. I know. I'm a pro. I'm from LA. Do you ever run into the thing, and I used to in the video industry when I did video editing, people would use buzzwords. They look at something like, oh, I want more razzle dazzle, or I want to look sparkling. It's like, oh, I can throw glitter on you, but what does that mean? So
I know sometimes you really have to like dig into your client, because a lot of people, especially women in general, we're super indecisive. We change our minds all the time.
No way.
We think we want something and then we change it. So I think that's the hardest part. Not everyone knows how to do hair. Not everyone knows how to do makeup. When I was young, I thought everyone did. I was like, everyone knows how to do this. I mean, how can I stand out?
Go to Great Clips and you'll find out.
No, everyone doesn't know how to do it. So I think just, you know, digging things out of them sometimes, because they'll come in and they'll be like, well, I want a smoky eye. And then it's like, you do it and you're like, well, this isn't what I wanted. So it's like really hard to try to find that balance. Definitely. Of like, what do you want? Because their lingo, like anything, is different than, you know, an artist is going to interpret it.
Definitely.
I think.
Okay. All right. So what's next for you? What do you need more of? How can we help you here?
I have a lot of weddings coming up. I think I'm booked almost every weekend the rest of the year, starting to get, you know, my next fall booked. A thing to look out for, I'm really excited about, is I did the hair and makeup for the cover of the Atlanta Weddings magazine for the fall, or I did the fall and the winter edition.
Okay.
So nice. The winter is going to be coming out. Really excited. Check it out at Barnes & Noble. I don't know the exact date, but it should be coming out sometime in November, I'm assuming. So yeah. If you ever need anyone, call me.
Definitely. Do you do bridal makeup trials?
Like, yes. Ahead of time? I always suggest doing a trial because I want to get to know that person. I want to get to know their style, their face, their skin, everything.
Yeah.
I have a lot of brides that come in from out of state, though, that can't do it because they're living out of state and they come into Georgia. But I always try to recommend it every time.
There's one thing I always try to tell brides, and even though I'm a DJ, I always tell them, do your hair and makeup beforehand and take a photo of it.
Yeah.
Let it sit on you for a while, because that's going to be the lasting picture. Because if you don't like it, after a while looking at it, you don't want the day of your wedding.
Absolutely.
What do you think about that?
And for images, I mean, it does look, might look a little like, wow, I've got a lot of makeup on, but, or in the mirror, it might look like you have a lot on, but in images, it's like beautiful.
It's different. It's way different. And I always try to explain that to the bride, like, you are the star of the show the day of. Everyone is going to be looking at you, and you're going to be photographed the most ever in your life on your wedding day.
Yeah.
So you want to have to wear a little bit more makeup. So it can also last. I mean, weddings are a production, like everyone has said, and they're very long. And so I think, you know, I think that's important. You know, I try to take photos for my brides after the trial. Luckily, my boyfriend has a professional camera, so it's like a nice quality, not like a junky iPhone photo that everyone judges. So, yeah, I always suggest that, like taking photos and sending it to my bride so she can see how different it is, I mean, on camera than in person.
Okay, definitely. Well, you mentioned the magazine cover coming out, but do you have any other accomplishments that you want to make mention of that you've done before?
That I've done?
Yeah. So you're like your greatest, top three or one or how many you want to
do? I'm proud of myself. I think everyone should be proud of themselves on any level, whether it's a very small thing that's happened in their life or a very big thing. And I have big dreams and I have big goals, and there's still much more that I want to keep accomplishing. But I think one of the proudest moments I had is when I came here and I just started my bridal business here in March, and just to kind of move in advance so quickly. And then I shot the cover of Atlanta Weddings magazine for the fall, and I walked into Barnes and Noble and I saw my work like sitting there, and I was like, oh my God, this is so surreal. I'm so
awesome.
Grateful.
Having started in March and being booked through the year is a big accomplishment.
Yeah. It just kept coming in. So it's very gratifying. I'm very excited for the future and everything. I hope I still stay booked.
Well, for someone that wants to be in your shoes and thinks everything you've done is great, what advice would you give them?
I will say there's a lot of people out there that are haters. There are. I mean, there are people, whether it be your family, your friends, there's people that are jealous. And so I think just surrounding yourself with super positive people, whether you have to cut those relationships off, whether they're family or friends or colleagues and they're negative, I don't think negativity brings anything good. So surrounding yourself with people that are positive, and also surround yourself with people that are better than you, because it makes you want to be better and strive more. And so I think just don't give up and just keep working and get mentors and just work around great people in the industry that you want to be a part of.
I think that is absolutely great advice. And yeah, I just don't tell people. If I have something I'm going to do now, I just don't tell anyone about it until after I do it. Then once it's successful, like, oh, you're so smart. And you're like, yeah, All right. Well, Jen, thank you so much for being on. How do people reach out and contact you?
To book you
even further?
Please book me. You can find me at www.jennifercneiman.com. I'm on Wedding Wire at Jennifer C. Neiman. I'm on Facebook.
Can you spell Neiman out for everybody?
Neiman, it's pronounced like Neiman, like Neiman Marcus, but it's spelled N-I-E-M-A-N. And you can call me. My number is 989-430-6317.
Do people ever ask you if you're related to Neiman Marcus, the store?
I was related, which I wish I was, I would be probably on my private yacht right now. Okay. Never working again. No, I'm just kidding.
All right. Well, thanks to all our guests today for being on. You guys did a great job. It was a great show.
Thank you.
So, Jessica, you did it again. You booked another great show.
Thanks. Yeah, awesome. It was a good group.
Uh-huh. Well, I like to, before we close the show, I like to check in, see how your Adventurepreneurs group is going.
It's great. It's growing every week. I have it on. It's on LinkedIn and Facebook. And great discussions for event industry professionals going on at all times.
All right. Well, that sounds good. Great show. Next show, I'll be talking about Taste of Atlanta since I'm going. I'm really excited.
Yes,
so.
And you're moving, too.
I don't want to talk about that. Love the place I'm moving to. I hate moving. So.
Yeah.
Well, this is Kevin Finn for Jessica Park and all our guests today and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next week on Meeting Pros.